Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God from all blessings flow. Tonight, we just thank God for the ability to be on here tonight and declare and decree that God is real story, who he say he is. Moreover, we just thank God for the things that he has done, what God is doing for us. And one of the things I will say tonight is,
welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
My prayers that God will bless us and keep us and show us his will and not our will. The more we call on him, the more he takes us to a level of understanding. And the more we understand him, the more he is there to help us and show us. Tonight's that night. I would just like to say a few words until the guests come on. I left word for them to come on. They don't come on, I can understand. But one thing I want to say, the Bible says to us clearly, call on me. What is he saying? Jesus saying, call on me, and I will answer you. And he, when we call on him, he will expediently answer us. And so the question I raised, God, I'm going to call on you because I know from the beginning to where we are right now, you are God all by yourself. And so I want to thank you. And then, Lord, there's so many out there that's got their own attitude. There's some out there. And I would just say it like this here. One of the things that we take note of what the Bible says, if we could just go to the Bible and read what God has said, and see, God will only take his word. So if you have something to say to God, to speak to God, give him his word. His word will take you to a level. And why would he do that? Because that's the kind of God he is. He will answer. One thing I began to understand when I was reading and studying more and I asked God to continue to take me to a place that he would have me to go. And as an apostle, I go out and see things happening, try to help somebody. And I go in, and also the gift of a pastor. I try to help men and women, men, black and white, rich and poor, to come to a point in life to see what God is all about. When we can just say, Lord, you are my Savior. And I thank you. I praise you. I love you. And I adore you. I magnify your name for all the things that you have done. Because moreover, Father, you said you would send your son. And then in the book of Psalms, chapter 2, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God was not pleased in all of the first came the man by the name of Abraham, then came Moses, then Elijah, and all those ministers, those prophets and everything. God could not find the same that he found his son. So the process was to come from heaven, to be born from heaven down into Israel. So may I just permit me to say this here. There's a place called there. There we meet God. There we talk to God. There we understand God. And there we can talk to God. There God will answer us. Many times in our lives, we come to a point where God is saying to us, he said in his word, he spoke to Isaiah in chapter 1. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you can eat all the good of the land. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. You mean to tell me that if I be willing and obedient, I can eat the good of the land? That's the Old Testament. He said, yes. He said, but remember what my son said. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And who does not eat my bread and not who don't drink eat this bread and drink this wine? You don't have no part in the kingdom. So I understand what God is saying to us. And we have a varied topic tonight. I see one of my beloved brothers on the air with us. Are you there, brother?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh man, it's so good. You now we're gonna be talking about the Word of God. And so, do you have something you want to tell the nation about? It's your platform now. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to tell people, I'm country like you from a small town in Mississippi. And from my humble beginnings to where I'm at now, King Solomon said it's a fool that says that he is no God.
Yeah.
I know there's a God. Where I come from in the backwoods of Mississippi and Alabama, to where God has brought me to now, this point in my life,
uh-huh.
I know there's a God.
There's a God.
You know, and that's all I want to say about it.
Well, let me ask this here. No, the line's open. We're going to talk tonight. Now, since we know that there is a God, how do we prove that there is a God?
Well, how do we prove it?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, God said, try me.
Oh, try me. God
try
said,
me.
Try me.
He said, ask me. Says, God of stone that you serve, those stone gods, I'm just paraphrasing now, those gods
uh-huh.
of wood and stone and other gods you serve, they're not a living God like me. So I am a living God. So try me. See when I
mm-hmm.
do what I say I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, every person in this world just to put God to the test, try God like he said, ask him for something with sincere heart and an humble spirit. Everybody that's done did that, God will come through for them.
Yes, he will. Now, also, my dear brother, one of the things that you and I are going to talk about, so the nation can ask, this nation we now have, why is it impossible for men to come to God and submit to God?
Why is it impossible, sir?
I got a
real simple answer they don't want to hear. The simple answer is they're serving the wrong God. I just said that. They're serving the God of the flesh. There's demons and fallen angels out there that cater to the flesh. In most of America, they profess to be Christians. Even the homosexuals profess to be Christians. All kind
mm-hmm.
of degenerate sexual people in America profess to be Christians. You can't be a Christian making love to another man. You can't be a Christian making love with another woman. You can't be a Christian married to your dog or your cat or your cow whatsoever, the Democrat. And the Democrats have put this world in a condition, America in a condition it is in, not the Republicans. The Democrats that did this because their agenda is we accept everything, anything goes.
Well,
people that hold on to the biblical values that this nation is supposed to represent is the Republicans, not the Democrats.
Well, let me ask this.
Not
this,
the
so
Democrats,
can...
sir. The Republicans holding on to biblical tradition, not the Democrats. They want
well,
to include homosexuals and gays, and when Obama said it's all right for another man to marry another man, I was done with him.
Well,
he opened the doors up for every kind of degenerate person in the world to come over to America and set up shop. And although there was already here that was hiding in the closet, he opened the doors up for them to bust things wide open.
Well,
do what you want to do.
Well, let's put some balance
that's
out.
That's why America's in the condition that it's in. We're serving the wrong God. We're serving the God of the flesh, not the God of the spirit.
Well, let me say
to
you,
God
like
of the Spirit is the God that I described, the God that said, "Try me." The true God is the God of creation that created the heavens and the earth. It's real simple. I'm a country boy. I done broken down to keep it real simple. Everybody understand that the heavens and the earth, the seen and the unseen worlds, the cherisher, provider, sustainer of this world, that is the real God.
Well,
all he was in glory was born as a man in Jesus Christ. Suffered at the stake a cruel beating, went to the cross, gave up the ghost and said, "This is your hands, I can be in my spirit," died, went to hell, came back, and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the real God.
Well, let me ask this question. I'm gonna put some things in. I'm gonna give some time to a Democrat and a Republican do not have salvation in their name. There's Democrats and there are Republicans. One thing we go to the scripture, and you and I both know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Short of the glory of God. Everybody, including me.
The reason why is because of the fact the Republicans, now I'm going to just go and pinpoint some things going on in America right now. We have a man that's sits in the White House. He has said, you can't do this. I'm in charge of America. And what you take notice of the fact that the Russians, the Chinamen, and here's because these people have not, even in the White House, this man does not know Jesus. He has proclaimed that he knows Jesus. So I say this here. If you say that you are not allowed, we're supposed to have a president, you got a Congress, you got a senator, and you got a both houses. And then the president comes along and says, I'm not going to let nobody come and tell the truth. So we got a whole lot of things that's going on right there in America right now. And I believe.
Yes, sir.
I believe. Now, I'm not going to be on either side, this side, that side. I'm going to tell it like it is. I know both sides have lied. But when you find the truth, you begin to say, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, when you, the most powerful man, supposed to be, and you invite other, you don't want to invite a dog in your house. You don't invite a cat in your house. And he invites those Russians in there and show them everything that we have. They got the keys to the code. What we do with and then Russia turns around and says, we got the most powerful atomic stuff. Well, a lot of folks then got afraid. Then he put the word out, say, anybody cross me, I'm going to make sure they don't get back elected. Well, I'm going to tell you something. that's what he put out of his own.
Yes, sir. That's all right. I'm not hating a preacher, man. Everything you're saying is right on point.
Because there's some people out there going to say, I don't want to be on that rock talk with you because they talk about loving the Republicans and the Democrats. Now, both are sinning. It comes to the glory of God. See, a man has to go and get his soul. He first has to acknowledge, God, I have sinned. Now, that was one man. There's one man that I recognize that came before God. And he said the words, he said, I came to him for three times, and he told me, my grace is sufficient. Now, he was the Apostle Paul. He was a true Jew. He knew the law. He was a part of the law. He cut him down and put him in jail, kill him. He did everything wrong. But when he come to the fullness, he met Jesus that day. You and I know the story. Maybe somebody out there know. But when you come to meet Jesus, the Son of the living God, who has salvation for you, who has an understanding that you can cross over and you can live a good life, you can do this and do that, and you do it in righteousness. When we do things in righteousness, God reward you and I.
I was telling
somebody the other day, I said, when God has taken the veteran, I'm moving to the veteran. I said, God has taken the veteran, and he has rewarded us. Why has he rewarded us? Because down through the, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 1, 2, 3. We got different presidents. Didn't care a thing about the veteran.
No, sir, they didn't.
And so all of a sudden, God kind of shook this man up for a reason. But it's for a standpoint. It doesn't make him right now because still he gets
his own. No, sir, it don't.
His own party is fighting. So why are you trying to help these vets? Well, you want to send us a war and fight the war, but you don't want to take care of us. You made a commitment. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir, you're right about it.
And see, right now, they come to find out, my God, help us tonight. We're going to have some fun, but we got time to do it. All of a sudden, when he went over there, I called him 45, went over there and said, okay, Iran, you think you're a big boy. I'm going to show you the power I got. But all of a sudden, there's some planes came down in Iran. Then they come to find out all those American guys down there got something wrong with their heads. They call it, what they call it, my brother, the shock sometime or another their minds are messed up. Because when they dropped them bombs over there in Iran, somehow or another, those guys in those bunkers, their heads all messed up. So now they got them there, Arthur Reed down in America, checking out. So what did happen? So when you
I'm gonna tell you a lot of the problems, brother man, is, and I know you got the floor, but let me take you to Genesis, the 17th
right.
chapter.
Let's talk.
It's a blessing in the Bible. We all know about the blessing that Jacob got, right?
Yes.
Jacob, Isaac got the line of Christ. We all know about that blessing. But if you go to Genesis, the 17th chapter, Abraham asked God, oh, God, I pray that Ishmael might walk upright in your sight.
That's what he
said. God told Abraham, said, because he come from your loins, these blessings I shall give him. They got the same blessings through Ishmael, the same blessings that was given to Jacob and Isaac, except the Christ child was born through the lineage of Jacob and Isaac. But every other blessing that was bestowed upon them was bestowed upon Ishmael and his descendants. You over there fighting somebody that God done blessed.
Yeah.
And you can't fight nobody God can bless. That's just biblical.
That's biblical.
And
but
everybody
see,
that goes over there and fight those boys, something gonna happen to them. Just a family squabble. Get out of it and let the family handle it.
Oh, man, I love what you just said. It's a family squabble. I've been trying to tell
you. It's a family squabble. That's all it is. It's two brothers. They're fighting for the birthright. The older child gets the most of it, get a double portion.
Yeah.
It's a birthright. It's a family squabble. And every American that goes over there going to come back with something wrong with him because you fighting people God done blessed.
He done blessed them.
He done blessed them.
He has blessed them. And so, quote that again, in case somebody out there and across the world is listening. What was it? Genesis chapter what?
In Genesis, I don't have my Bible with me, but it says this here. When Abraham was talking to God one day, and Abraham was a righteous man, he was a friend of God, and God was Abraham's friend. And Abraham said, being a friend of God, I'm going to ask him something. Oh, Lord, I pray that Ishmael might walk upright in your sight. And God turned around and told him, said, no, the blessing will come through Jacob and Isaac of the Christ child. That's what he was telling Abraham. He said, but because Ishmael came from your loins, this is the blessings I will give him.
Both of them came from his loins. Both them boys came
His loins. Ishmael came from his loins and Isaac came from his loins. And from Isaac's loins came Jacob. And from Jacob down through the years came Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it all started with Abraham, being a righteous man, being obedient.
So in other words,
if we obedient to God, the lesson in that is we obedient to God as the Father, even the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren will be blessed through us.
Uh-huh. So what?
By
blessed
by God, us being obedient and being blessed, God will bless our lineage.
Yeah.
And those Arabic, you say what you want to say about them, but they prosper. Most of the world hate them. But they prosper because God bless them.
They prosper.
And God will deal with them too.
Oh, yes.
He's
going to
deal with them too. In the end times, all of them going to be dealt with.
Yes.
But he can't go back on his word. See, God ain't an Indian giver. He didn't give the blessing, then take it back.
No, he can't
he's
do gonna that.
He's
going to
deal with them in the end time like everybody else.
My. Well, let me ask you.
Leave them people alone. Let that family sell their own affairs.
Yeah.
You're just wasting billions and trillions of American money that could be put to use over here in programs over here to help America and save a whole lot of lives on both sides.
Well, let me ask
leave
you this.
That alone.
Let me ask you this, preacher man. One question. Well, what can we do to help America and tell them that's not – well, should we decide to go and join up if they say we're going to be called to the war front? Do we sign up or no go in there? Tell me, let's talk about what do we do? Do we go get the young people to sign up and tell them not now? Because there
no,
is
sir,
a...
you know what I do, brother man, and I'm more patriotic. I graduated on Sunday at 2 o'clock and was waiting on the Air Force recruiter's office to open up, standing on the steps when he opened up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was there at 6:30 in the morning, ready to serve my country.
Yes.
I'm one of the most patriotic men. I bleed red, white, and blue, and I tell people that. But I know the family squabble when I see it. I'm not gonna ask no American, black, white, Hispanic, whatever ethnic group they is to go with and fight those brothers. I'm not gonna ask them to do that. They're family.
No. Well, see, the thing I've come to understand, Preacher Man, is this. I've been able to talk with the both of people from across America by me working for the City of Houston, my 31 years. I felt,
yes, sir.
I began to understand. I said, well, ain't nothing wrong with these people. Something wrong somewhere. In other words, I found out what it was. I want more than what you got, and you want more than what I got. But I'm the first one who got the blessing.
Yes, sir, that's what it is. That's all it is, a family squabble.
Oh, my God.
They want what each other have. Ishmael, being the oldest child of Abraham, think he's due to birthright. Oh, that's the customs over there. That's why Sarah had Abraham put him away when his mother Hagar and him off. But her son, the youngest son, 16 years younger than his older brother, couldn't get the double portion. Isaac.
No, sir. Because once
that's
God gave
it down.
Can't take it back. And so when we go back, man, let's you and I do this here. We take the Old Testament as a guide. Right?
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
then that guide, it takes us to the New Testament where God sent his son. Now we saw God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when we saw God's Son, we saw the inclination of God putting his promise in the land.
Yes, sir, he did that. He did.
And put his promise in the land. He said, all who will come unto me. My God. He opened the door for both those sons, but they're still fighting each other.
Yes, sir. And they're going to do it to the end time. Are you know why? You just said it, brother, man. The Arabic want what the Jew got, and the Jew want what the Arabic got.
I know it.
That's it.
Uh-huh. And so,
it's
when I
be satisfied with what God to bless them both with, they both want what each other have.
And you're not both.
And you know yourself. I'm not calling nobody no dog, brother, man, but you know yourself. If you got two dogs out there in the yard and it's time to feed them, you give them the same amount of food, so you measure out two cups of food or the same dog food and put it in a dish and take it out there, they go fight over it. They got the same thing, but they go fight over it.
No, that's a DOD.
You know that you don't see two dogs do that. I don't got nobody no dog, but that's just an analogy.
Yeah.
And that's what they doing. They fighting over, they got this, they got the same blessing, but they want what each other have. And it's stupidity in his eyes. And can't nobody sell that. They've been fighting amongst themselves for more than 3,000 years. Let them fight and stay out of it. There's a family squabble.
Well, let me ask you this, man. Let me ask you this, Preacher Man. Why do the Gentiles come in at?
Where do the Gentiles come in at? The
Gentiles
come in because I'm going to make a lot of Europeans mad. Us black folks were the Israelites of the Bible. That means you're Israelites. The bloodline could be checked out. We're Israelite bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the black men in America that claim to be Africans, Hamanites, are actually Israelites. The bloodline is in your blood. It can be proved. Okay. Where the Gentiles came in, the blessing, we rejected Christ. It's slavery. You know how come I talk about slavery a lot, but slavery was just our punishment. It's in Deuteronomy. The punishment from rejecting Christ, from rejecting God, and turning to another God.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery in America was our punishment.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible, the Song of Moses, it tells you.
Mm-hmm.
It's us. Nobody else but us. He said, y'all are a hard, hard, stiff-necked bunch of people. He said, you shall marry a bride, shall take a bride, but you won't lay with her. The master shall lay with her and produce children by her.
Uh-huh.
So you should have a, I can't quote it exactly how to give a Bible, but you should have a, your feet shall be on brass and your ceiling shall be. To talk about the yoke around our neck, the yoke they had around our neck of iron, and the balls of steel, iron, and the ceiling. The ceiling should be iron, too, and brass. Those were the caves they kept, the cages they kept us in.
Yeah.
When they got rid of sales off the market, they had us in a cage and then bought us out the cage and showed us.
Yeah.
Everything that happened to us in America is in the Bible. Everything. By the white man laying out with woman, taking out with woman and laying with her, producing brown skinned children by her. That's in the Bible. He says, you'll just be afraid. That's in the Bible. So you won't know what you're running for, afraid of. You'll just run. And I've heard a lot of, you've heard your grandfather talk about that sometimes they would just eat and just take off and start running. And didn't know why they was running.
That's right. That's
the wind
right.
was blowing. They were running. It's in the Bible. You will fear and won't know what you're afraid of. Everything that happened to us in slavery here in America is in the Bible.
Yeah.
They don't care what nobody said. There's a lot of white people coming out and supporting me in this here, too. Telling everybody, the black people in America, y'all are not Hamanites, y'all are Shemanites.
Shemanite.
A lot of white people have come to that realization. God put it on their heart to tell the truth.
Now you got three different
but we
races.
Still claiming Hamanites and descendants. We are not Hamanites.
Yeah. All right. So, well, let me ask you this question, pre-man. Having been in America, and I've talked to my uncle, he was 80-some years old, and I was a young man. His name was Brother George. But Brother George said he had to put some white people out of his life when he was a young man because he was not going to become a slave. And he told me he had to put them to sleep. Back then,
that was
his way of saying I killed them.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to make me a slave. And
right.
I was not. So he went up north. And he stayed there until when he got to be an old man. I never forget it. He came back to Bryan, Texas, and he stayed there.
A lot of blacks did that, kill white people who ran up north. A lot of blacks did that.
And you know what? His skin was so black.
Yes, sir.
His skin was so black. He told me some things, but he loved whiskey.
Yeah.
He told me some things. He said, I'm going to show you that's going to benefit you in years to come. And here I am right now seeing the benefits of it. And I see a lot of women, and I see a lot of men don't understand why you and I try to sit down and tell them the truth, they want to get upset at us.
Because, sir, the Bible says they'd rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. The white man has told them a lie so long about our history, they believe that lie. When me and you come along with the truth, they laugh at us. How many times I've been called a lie? And I try to teach black history, our history, they laugh at me. They say, you a fool. Everybody know the Israelites are white folks. I said, the Jews are white people. The Israelites are black people.
You have black people. But see, one thing you and I both know, that's why God has put us together. Now, it took me 20-some odd years to get my blog, get my radio station. I believed in it because I was at KHOU. I learned some things. But I kept believing God, and one day God gave me the challenge to get this Blog Talk Radio. And then, hey, you let me know you've been waiting for 9 years, and God brought you in my presence.
I've been waiting for 9 years to get on the radio.
Now, here we
are. Everybody tells me to hear me talk, especially when I'm not smoking cigarettes. I got a voice like Barry White, and I know it is. I call my voice Barry. I say when Barry's kicking, I can talk anybody into anything when he's kicking right, when I'm not smoking. And it sounds really good tonight. But when my voice is kicking properly, I tried out for a couple shows in California. They told me they loved the tone of my voice, but they didn't love the accent I had, that southern accent. They told me to get rid of the accent and come back. But how can you get rid of who you are? I'm a southerner from Mississippi, a southern black.
But you know what?
I can't change my accent. I'm proud to be from Mississippi. They laugh at me. I'm proud to be from Mississippi. God had me born at a certain point, at a certain time, in a certain state for a reason. I'm not ashamed of Mississippi. I'm ashamed of what Mississippi do to people in the land, but I'm not ashamed of the land.
No.
Glad I was born there.
No. Well, I tell you, just like in Texas, I was glad I was born in a little place called Bryan, Texas. And I learned and I watched them white boys. I would study them. I learned from them. And I learned they can be, white boys can become, this is me saying that when I was a young man, this lady, I used to work for her, and I learned how to cook. And one day they trusted me in a Lincoln. They said, Hunter? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want you to take this to the bank. They sent me to the bank. I said, yes, ma'am. But somebody, I didn't know somebody was trailing me and following every step I made.
Yes, sir, that's what they do. They see if you would do what you told to do.
And so when I got to the bank, I got out and I said, Miss so-and-so-and-so took me to the bank, So they uncovered, they said, okay, she sent it. Okay, here's the receipt. She sent a ton of money through me. And when I came back, she said, we can trust you now. I said, what?
Yeah. You did what you was asked to do.
Yeah.
You didn't try to run with the money. You took it to the bank.
No, that's your money. I don't want your money. I want you to pay what I'm working for.
That's it.
Yeah.
If
that's
you
all
know, brother, man, I'm not cutting you off, but getting back, my grandfather was born in the 1800s. He was born in 1890, Dave Williams was, my mama's daddy. He was so tall. He was tall like me, real thin and dark, the chiseled cheekbones and everything. Black, shiny black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He seen his grandfather shot off his pony because he was a Choctaw and owned a lot of land in Alabama.
Yeah.
And the people that owned the sawmill wanted to buy his land, but they wanted to give him nothing for it. And he wouldn't sell.
No.
So they told him, we go either get it, buy it from you, or take it from you. He said, well, you'll take it and not go buy it from you at that price.
Yeah.
He got on his pony. He had a Henry rifle. Took his Henry rifle, teed himself to the ground, and got on that pony and said, this is where I make my stand. I'm going to live or die.
All right.
My granddaddy told me this here. They shot him off his pony, killed him, and took that land from him.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 years before my granddaddy died at 87 years old in 1977, he was 10 years older than what the time was.
Mm-hmm.
If they sent him a check, the people that killed him, that took the land from him, sent my granddaddy a check for $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaddy got a lawyer, sent it back to him and said, this is all my grandfather's life was worth, $20,000 off the millions y'all made off that, them hundreds of acres of land, cutting the timber. This is all his life is worth, $20,000. Say, bad as I need it, take it, blood money. My grandfather was worth more than this here.
I know that's right.
that's why I get my pride, brother, man. My people were Choctaws and Creeks. My people were Choctaws and Creeks.
Yeah.
And it's in my blood. You can test it.
Yeah. Well, see, when somebody said, well, you're not another soldier. I said, I met a man who knows God. I ain't talking about soldiers or soldiers. That's what a man that knows God. And we can look up.
Yes, sir. And brother, man, it took you. I told you, I've been ready to leave Texas, but God told me, just stay where I got you at. I know you're not happy with your living surroundings. I know you're not happy with this here, but I got something in the works for you. Almost 10 years I've been trying to get on the radio and look at here.
And now
the whole man heard me talking about Christ, confessing to Christ to somebody.
Yes.
And you heard me talking about Jesus, and we struck up a conversation.
Yes, because
and now, brother man, 10 years. See, God got his own way of doing things. 10 years later, by meeting you, I'm on the radio.
And now, so what God is doing with the radio station, now we're going to move into the television station.
Praise God for that.
And see, that gives us a
foot. I told a guy the other day, I said, out of all the brothers I know back home, the priest brothers that won't let me preach because I got knowledge, God, and bless me because I humble myself before the Lord. And I asked him for all the knowledge that ever was, that ever is, and that ever shall be about your word, so I can teach our people about us. Not what they say about us, but teach them the truth to directly from you. Give it to me, and I give it to my people, and I say, give me the knowledge, and hear what the catch is, and the wisdom to tell it to my people, the way you give it to me through the knowledge. And he did that. Everybody laughs at old Bobo, crazy Bobo. They think I'm crazy for talking the way I talk. But I know God will put me around some people that knew I was telling the truth. Just keep on talking. Don't stop talking.
I know it.
Talking.
And see, one
That's
of the things.
That's how God is, brother, man.
I know it.
It
and
was
see, one
God
of,
that brought us together, and I told somebody this. I said, only God did this.
Yeah. And so.
Only God stepped in and did this here. Knew my desire. I'm not trying to be world famous or nothing. I just want to tell everybody about my risen Lord and bring as many souls into the kingdom as I can. That's all I want to do. Somebody go believe what we're talking about.
You see, one day.
Do you know that, brother man?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. See,
somebody
will
believe us.
So God has told me, he said, well, through what you and this man are doing, we're going to set up an international prayer line.
The sound is not, brother man. The sound is real bad.
Sir?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Now can you? Yes,
right.
Sir.
All right. Let me put it in front of me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. What I said, we're going to set up an international prayer line. But everybody that want to have prayer, we're going to say, okay, we're going to have prayer time at 9. I mean, correction, at 6, 9, 12, 3, and 6. You don't have to call
sir.
In. It's just going to be just call in and put your prayer in there. Because we're going to be praying all day long. Now, the Jews, Abraham said that. Now, but the Bible says, why if I started this time, let's pray all day long. So somebody can say, oh, yeah. And so
it won't hurt, brother man. It won't hurt to pray all day long. It won't hurt.
No, what I mean
because
is that.
What I still do, brother man, I fast a lot sometimes.
Me too, but I never tell
my prayer to reach the heart of God, but I know I need him to reach the heart of God about a situation. I fast for 3 or 4 days, and then I pray to God.
Yeah. Well, I do.
I know you fast.
I know you do. And so I'm going to share this right quick with everybody that's listening to it while we're on the live together. Man, this is a blessing for me tonight. Now, a lot of folks are hearing us, but they haven't come on the line. And so one thing I will say, we in America, right here in Houston, Texas, we got more people killing up each other. We got the young man killing up folks. We got the big thing of the day that shook the whole right not too far from my house where the thing just exploded last night. 2 people lost their lives. So that's the work of the enemy. His name is Lucifer.
That's the work of the enemy.
Lucifer doing everything he can to destroy the holiness of God. And so what do we do in our preacher, man? What do we do to try to reach and reach and tell the untold?
Brother, I know this here for a fact. Unless a man is ready to Shaka Khan made a song when she was singing with Rufus. Even a blind man can tell when he's walking in the rain. Most of them walking in the rain don't even know it. And they're not blind people. But they walking in the rain, I mean, they walking. They think what they've been taught to do, how they've been seeing other people live, is just the way you live. And you got to take what your brother held by force. Well, take it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's dog be dog. That's what they think. I heard a lot of young people tell me that. Man, if I don't get him, he gonna get me, so I get him before he can get me. I heard a lot of young women say the same thing.
Well, I mean,
they're serving the wrong God.
That's what I see.
Serve the right God, and your mind will change. Your attitude will change about hurting your brother.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it will. They're serving the wrong God, brother man. That's why they're doing what they're doing, preacher man.
All right. Well, that's
they've been taught that by precept. How do we learn, brother man? By precept and example, what we see and what other people do, right?
Right.
That's how
we
learn what we do, our habits and things we do. They done seen this all their life. That's all they know. Now, if somebody like me, you know, those 2 old Christian veterans like me, come along and try to lead them down the right path, they done led down the wrong path so long they laugh at us and tell us we're crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We got.
Like I tell them, we go see who's crazy in eternity. I'm going to be looking down at y'all, and y'all be looking up at me and saying, wish y'all would have listened.
Amen. Well, one thing
I'll be a baby to him, praising God 24/7. be bathed in God's glory 24/7.
Well, I want to say this to you, preacher. One thing that you and I come to the conclusion on the blog, on our Can We Talk, one of the things that we find more people that are saying, I know God. Well, my question to them is, do you really know God? Yeah, I know God. God can do anything he wants. That's a true statement. But in him doing anything, he can do anything. But do you know he wants to take you and use your life and make you a better man than what you mean? No, man. That's beyond my
understanding. Man, I got a simple answer to that. They know of God.
Yes.
They don't know God. They know of him. Like most people in America, even the homosexuals and the general person in America know of God, but they don't know him. Knowing of him and knowing him is two different things. You understand?
Yes.
Most of America knows God, but they know of him, but they don't know him personally. They don't have that personal relationship with him. They
and
know
the reason,
what he can do, but they don't have that personal relationship with him.
Well, see, the one thing you and I preach, man, and the world can understand what we're saying, and we've been transparent tonight. We say you can look into our lives and all you can see is nothing but clear because we don't have time to lie. Life is too short. I don't have time to lie.
I don't.
You either love me or leave me. That's up to you. I'm going to love you until the day I leave this earth. One of the
things I love you, either God let me love you, brother man, I'm going to say this here. If God let me love you and people from the grave, I'll do it.
Yes.
My love will never die. Love just goes back into the universe and come back, and you know what I'm saying? It's a different energy. That's not what love does. Jesus didn't die. Jesus was love.
Yes,
he didn't die.
But you know what? You know what, though, preacher man? You and I both been, well, we don't say ourselves a Bible scholar. We love the Bible. And we see what Jesus spoke particularly to the people of Israel. He didn't talk to the Gentiles. He talked to the people of Israel. Well, tell me why he did that.
Because.
Okay.
He was an Israelite himself.
Oh, okay.
And he was sent to his people, first of all. That's why he particularly preached to them. But when his people rejected him, when our ancestors rejected him, what did he do and say? I have sheep and other pastors.
Yes. All
so
right.
He went to the Gentiles, amongst the Gentiles, the non-believers.
Yes.
They accepted him. But his own wouldn't. We wouldn't. Our ancestors wouldn't accept him. But the Gentiles knew of God through Abraham. See, Abraham was famous throughout their land. Everybody knew Abraham.
Well, you know
everybody in that area knew him.
Yes. Well,
even his Samaritans, that's where he lived amongst when he first got here. He lived amongst the Samaritans, and they knew of him.
Mm-hmm.
They could tell you about Abraham. Everybody could. So they said, you know what? We know Abraham too. So Jesus said, since they know of him, I'm going to talk to them and let them know him in the flesh, me. I'm the God that Abraham was talking about. I was before Abraham.
I was
the God of creation in the beginning. I'm the Word of God. I was there in the beginning before Abraham was. It was I.
And you know what else? You know what else, preacher man? I'm going to say it like this here. We live in a time that's so profound with darkness. And we got somebody that's come on the line with us. I want to see if they want to have a word. You have, want to have a word?
Yes, don't have the word.
They want to have this person, another person on the line with us. Would you like to have a word with us, somebody you're on the line with us? Hello? Your last phone number is 702. Would you like to have a word with us tonight while we're discussing how we can get out of reach, unreach, and tell the untold, something that not revealed God cannot heal? Can you talk with us for a moment or two? Are you there? Well, okay. Let me say this here. One of the things that I've come to find out, a lot of people have come to understand. But when a man is hungry, he'll stick his hand out there because he needs something to put in his stomach. So do you feed him or not feed him? The word says God told the Jews, he said, when I was hungry, he said, you didn't feed me. But when I go back and look at the woman who went to Jesus, he said, now who are you? She said, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm not a Jew. But he said, if you knew, my God Almighty, if you knew who you were talking to, I'd give you a drink of water, or I'd give you some living water, we'll never thirst again.
Thank you, brother man, the living water.
Yes, and see, the fullness of what has happened in my life, in my years, I thank God. Now, sometimes I find myself, I say, Lord, I need you more now than ever. I know what you've got me wanting to do, want to do this. And sometimes I make some mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, we all do, brother man. But you know what the mistake is? Like Rock Balboa said it. Or Sylvester Stallone, the last movie, Balboa, he said, if you get knocked down, it ain't how many times a man get knocked down, brother man. It's how many times he get up. I'm the one that humbled myself and went to God. So just give it to me so I can give it to my people. They were so busy wanting to be pastors, to be known pastors, so and so, but they destroyed their little cheap suits and cheap shoes, the towel that Manna laid on up. And if you want to know the truth, brother Manna, if I wanted to, I could have been a pastor since 1992.
Yes.
The Methodist, United Methodist begged me to be a pastor. Tried to give me three churches in 1992. So we'll start you here. Because the preacher we were studying under used to give classes. And he asked a question one night. He said, anything I can ask you don't know, I said, well, you keep asking. Maybe you'll face. He said, how did you get so knowledgeable? So the rest of them in preaching, said, they preach all the time. I never heard of you. And I said, well, they like to talk a lot. They like to be seen a man and praise a man. While they puffing and puffing in the pulpit, regurgitating the same old mess, I'm into some Bibles on the book. I'm into the Bible, the books that explain the Bible to you, and I study to show myself approved. A workman that can rightly apply the truth that need not feel ashamed. That's what I'm doing while they puffing and puffing about being Pastor so-and-so. And you know what he did to reward me? He was the district superintendent and told him, the brother Sims is the only one ready to be a pastor. The rest don't want to be a pastor, but they're not ready to be a pastor.
What
and the vicious superintendent, Reverend Hanks, was the man he talked about me. He asked me in front of all of them, told me, I got three churches for a pastor here tonight, and it's Reverend Sims. They got mad as they could be the other 90. I was awful first, and I refused it. I said, no, sir. I want to be an evangelist. I can reach more people being an evangelist than I could a pastor. Because I got 300 members, I got 300 headaches. I would have rather be a pastor then. But I'm ready now, God. I was more like Peter than I was Christ. I would chop the head off back then.
Well,
God humbled me. He humbled me more than I humbled myself. God did. Now I'm ready to be a pastor.
Well, let me ask you this here, my brother. When we know that we know, and I'm just going to make a distinction, when I come to find out about the Catholics and the Methodists, the attitude they had toward God was profound. It was profound. And with the Baptists, they want to hoop and holler and scratch and claw, but they don't want to do anything to help the kingdom. And I said, well, Lord.
Thank you. You see the same things I see. Go on and talk, brother man. You're telling the truth.
And I said, well, and I went, like you said, I met a Methodist church up there in up north, not too far from here, and I know they needed a pastor. Well, they told me I had to come back and go back to school again. I finished the school with all education. They said, now, we want you to be educated our way.
They believe it. That's why I love the United Methodists. They believe in the education. I love them for that.
They love. And so I sit there and I learn so much. I learn so much. But I say, you know what? I'm just not going to decide left or right because I love what I'm doing. I'm going to talk to the Baptist. I'm going to talk to
there
the president.
There you go.
I'm going to talk to those. I'm going to talk to the Jews. I'm going to talk to the Gentiles. I'm going to talk to the Islam. What's the word they say?
Muslims. I'm going to talk to anybody that'll
listen. Talk to them, too. And one Muslim told me, he said, well, you don't know the God I know. I said, really?
Really?
He said, but our God. He said, the prophet. He sent it to heaven. I said, but our God rose to heaven. He didn't ascend. Jesus rose. And he stood out of, oh my God. Let me do one other thing right quick, my brother. Now, you and I have been talking about the land that God has given to the Gentiles. Now, I went in the Bible and I found all this land that God has given to the people to the Jewish people. And folks said, no.
Yep.
And I began to study. I said, all down past Palestine, down in Iraq, a little bit further. I said, what's wrong with these people? But see, until somebody tells them the truth, that's why I think this Blog Talk Radio. That's why I think the TV station. And we're going to be able to sit there and not argue, but we're going to put everything in context. And we're doing it right now. Because the more we can contextualize, we can help somebody come out of darkness. And I met a man one day was full of nothing. And I told him, I said, you know what, brother? He said, what? I said, if I tell you what God did for me back in my day, what God got me right now. And he said, yeah, tell me. And I said, well, look, back in the day in the military, they had the stuff called the white girl. It was cocaine.
That's right.
And I said, I was just take one little sniff of cocaine. But it kept me high beyond my understanding for these 5 or 6 days. That's when I came down.
Yeah, would you tell them that the United States government provided that cocaine for you because they know what it would do for you? They knew what cocaine would do for you. It would keep you up like that.
Yes. But
they made it available for you guys in Vietnam. For the job you was on, they specially made it available for you guys.
Yeah. And so
I noticed because I sat down and talked to a lot of older veterans like you told me that they made it available for us. They gave it to us.
They gave it to us. And a lot of folks, I was telling the young man, I said, man, you don't know what they did, but they did that to put a psychological effect upon my mind to do what I need to be done. They said, what did you do? Sniper. You was a what? Now, what's that? I said, well, I'm not going to. If you don't know what a sniper is, I'm going to shut my mouth. Because
there's a young man back home, brother man. And his daddy was a preacher. Daddy was my first mentor. When I accepted him being chosen of God, the first man that sent for me was his daddy. Reverend Peters, he married my mom and daddy. They was living in sin, and he married them.
Uh-huh.
I'm a child of sin. I'm a bastard child. I was born out of marriage, out of wedlock, me and my older sister. My dad adopted her, but he didn't adopt me. He gave me his name, but he officially didn't adopt me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this here. There's a man back home named Bunk Peters did the same job you did, was a sniper. And everybody want to know what's wrong with Bunk. He was raised in the house of the Lord. He did this and did that. But look, because he was a country boy, Bunk Peters could hang up clear fishing line, the clear can, and take a .22 single shot of rifle. One shot, one line was cut in two. Back off a long way from him, shooting in two in one shot. They recognized his talents in his basic training and made him a sniper.
That's what they did
Bunk
with me.
Got a whole lot of kills, a whole lot of stuff he can't talk about because it's secret. Top secret.
No.
You wonder why he act and do the things he do. I said the things he did as a boy in Vietnam for this country. And look what his country done did for him. Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
And I say to a lot of people, Preacher Man, and I was telling that young man, I said, let me tell you something. I said, number one, find a place where you can get your mind open up. Get you some education. Learn how to read. Learn how to write. Learn how to preserve every street. Watch some people. Watch what people are doing. Study your surroundings. And that's what they, well, I will say this here. Back in that day, and I say this here, and I had to pray much, and God has taken me step by step. A lot of folks don't know what we went through during that time. But I said, Lord, keep my mind straight. And God said, if you will obey me, I will keep your mind straight.
And it's Brother Man, and you know what?
Yes, sir.
I talked to veterans your age and Vietnam black guys out there. And I was crying when they sitting at the table with him, and I was ashamed I didn't serve Vietnam. You know what all of them told me? Dry them tears up. Down, you know, they told me, man for man, and several more, and walked around the table and patted me on the back, said, we glad you didn't have to see the carnage that was over there. We glad you didn't have to go through.
Man,
so don't you feel bad about not serving Vietnam. So we glad you didn't have to see.
Man, look, I got one of my soldiers, man, that's living that right down the street from me. Got all that shrapnel in his back. Got all messed up. And so they didn't want to pay him, so he got busy, and now they bless him. It's not about the blessing, but a lot of these guys don't understand what's going on.
They don't. There's a man right here in Texas, used to be my roommate, the first apartment I had. I wasn't making enough money with giving but $800-some, $600-some a month from the VA. And I couldn't have my apartment with $600 a month. So he moved in with me, and we shared the rent, right?
Right.
Brother Robert Estelle got wounded in Vietnam. He registered for every weapon that they had, went to the range and was registered for every weapon. And they needed somebody to mount the 50 caliber that day. Mm-hmm. He was going on a patrol, and he had qualified for it. They sent him out. In a round from the enemy, hit the 50 caliber and it exploded. I dug shrapnel out of his hands and his arms and stuff. You know what? They won't pay him.
No.
He got
but
paid
you know,
to work the letter too when he was in Vietnam, and they still won't give Brother Estelle his money.
But you know what? Tell that brother we need to get
still
his money.
A hero.
He
won't give him his money because he's an old black man. Came out of school and 1967 or 66, and went directly to the
known. Preacher Man, I will say this to you. You know his name. You got my phone number. Tell him to call me, and I will show him.
I gotta find him. Somewhere in Willis, Texas, I gotta find him.
Yeah, and I know this much.
If somebody hear me, if Mr. Robert Estelle is still living, tell them to get in contact with Charles or get in contact with Brother Preacher Man. My phone number, somebody write it down and give it to Brother Estelle. Call Brother Preacher Man can help him get his money like he's going to help me get mine. I'm in the process of getting all my money. Brother Preacher Man can help Robert Estelle. My phone number is 936-282-7714. Tell Brother Robert that little money he's getting from Social Security, he can get all his back pay from Vietnam if he's still living. He can get it.
He can get it. And see, the thing I love about it, see, but when we say soldiers are soldiers, somebody, but y'all talking about being a soldier. But that's what it's all about. That's what right now we...
If we don't have each other six, who got our six, Brother Man? Nobody else but somebody like us.
Oh, that's what we owe. If
you
got
help me, I'm trying to reach out to Brother Robert now. And any other veteran out there that's been denied your claim, I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, get in contact with Preacher Man. Preacher Man, would you put your phone number out there for them?
Well, yes, my number is 832-242-8620. Just call me, and if you can't get back in contact with me, I'm going to give you a code. Just put the word 13. 13. To me, that means I'm ready to fight.
I've been fighting for my money all these years, and I've been denied. Preacher Man put me in contact. He heard me talking about my money. He said, I know somebody here to get your money. Me and him talked the other day. He said, I know you finna get a check for about $300,000. And if we file the right paperwork, you live long enough, you'll get paid when you come out the military without your money. So you look at millions.
Yeah.
So they will have to pay you $300,000 up front to start with.
Yeah. But see, the whole idea with it is, if we can scratch it, like we say, I got your six. I told the person, you got my six. What you talking about, man? See, but if you understand, I got your back, you got my back.
That's it. That's
it. You got my back.
What if you would have been selfish? My son got his money, but my son wouldn't tell me how to get my money. What if you been selfish like my son and said it took me a while to get mine, you get yours? What if you'd have been like my son, a selfish man?
Yeah.
You're not selfish. That's why I know. That's why I'm with you. I said, this man just a volunteer to help me get my money and don't even know me for real.
No, because
my
it's all
son
about
come from my loans and won't help me.
That's
several people I done asked about my money, won't help me get my money. But you volunteered to help me get it without me asking.
That's what God
does.
Thank
you, preacher man. And like I say, when I get blessed, I'm going to bless the blog. I'm going to give the blog a certain percentage of my money to keep
well,
it on the air worldwide. And I'm just telling you the truth.
I believe.
I told you this before. When I'm blessed, the blog is blessed.
Yeah. Well, see, one of the things I'll
I just want enough to build me a little house in Mississippi, brother, man. That's all I want.
What you say, man? You just
want
to build your house down
there. I want to retire in Mississippi with a little house paid for. Ain't got to worry about the monthly notes and get me an old truck and fix it up. I don't want no brand new truck. It costs too much. Find me an old truck, good body, put a brand new motor transmission in and rework the whole thing and live out my life, brother, man. I want to be a gentleman farmer the rest of my life.
Well, let me say something.
I
want to
have a couple of chickens, but I want to have more. I want a couple of hogs. I want a milk cow. I want a cow for the deep freezer, you know, to raise. I want a garden to plant to raise my own vegetables. I love vegetables.
Me too.
That's all I want to do.
But you know what?
If you will help me do that, God working through you will help me do that. God on my heart.
Yeah.
You see how I dress? I love and Levi's. I appreciate the pulpit in Levi's.
I'm
simple. I don't need no $5,000 suit to strut in the pulpit.
Yeah. What's
give me a nice shirt, starchy nice shirt with a tie and a sport coat and a pair of blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy. I'm country. Yeah. Proud of the country.
What I'm going to say to
I can take that money I'm spending on a $5,000 suit and help some more brothers and sisters out there.
Yeah. What I'm going to say to you
back to stop. Pass the blessing along. Help as many people as you can.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing. And I want to say this, too. We got about 10 more minutes left on the line. And I want you to know I thank God tonight for what we have experienced together. And somebody said,
I do too, brother, man. Every time you call me and talk to me, I say, somebody thinking about me. My family won't call me and talk to me, but you call me and talk to me.
But see,
it's good to know, brother, man, I'm not in this world alone. But God said it's not good for man to be alone. It's good, brother, man.
Yeah. What I'm going to tell you,
I got you now. I got my next door number, Nate, but Tracy. The wife got to take me to the bus station and pick me back up. I took cakes with him. He invited me to his little margin, and we sat down and break bread together to eat.
Yeah.
You know, I got two people that care about me out here.
Well, I'm going to say
something. That's all I need.
Well, one day, like I told you, I'm sending an Uber to pick you up and bring you out here. I'm going to pick you here, take you back. But I want you to know, somebody in that same area, we're going to put someone out there. So this man is going to be on the Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to put it out there in a letter form. And somebody's going to say, what? And they're going to be, how did this Negro get that forehead of us? See, a lot of folks don't understand. It's not how you run the race. It's how you stay in the race.
That's it, brother, man. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something I ain't never told you, but here's my biggest secret. A young lady, I like women that's 20 years younger than me. I got that way. Biblical is that way in the Bible. And my grandfather was 27 years older than my grandmother. So I date women that's 20 years, some years younger than me. Trying to be biblical like my grandfather, Dave Williams. Anyway, when I got down and had my second heart attack and stroke, and she had to send me a little money, I'm sending her $500 a week, but she wouldn't have to send me $50 a week. She called me up one day. Guess what she told me?
What?
And I reminded her that the reason me and her couldn't be together, she wanted to get back together. She called me up one day and said, know that God you serve? I said, yes, ma'am. I serve to the day I die. Know what she told me?
Yes, sir.
You need to find another God to serve because he ain't doing nothing for you now. You know what I told her? You foolish woman. Click and hung the phone up.
I know that's right. That's what. The woman I got, I've been with for 50 years. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye, but we do put things out there. And we come to
that's
a conclusion.
Right. But let me ask you this, brother, man.
Go ahead.
It's all right to agree to disagree. But have y'all ever went to bed mad at each other?
No.
There you go. As long as you sell that before you get in the bed at night with her, everything's all right, brother, man.
It's all right. And I tell her, I always
put another 50 years of y'all disagreeing.
And I told her,
I want
love
my
you.
Great, great, great grandchildren to know you, brother, man.
Well, I'm going to say it to you like this here. Tonight, I want you to go ahead and put a prayer out there for the people. And we're going to come back next time. But I'm going to make sure that you will have your time to be on the radio for 30 minutes. You can preach the word.
Okay.
And we're going to get it set up. I'm going to start right there.
You know
what,
brother, man? Unless God change my mind, I want to go to Genesis, the 17th chapter, and talk about more, expound more. I spit out the Bible on the blessing I told you God gave them people. Leave their family alone over there. I want to quote it word for word out the Bible between the conversation between Abraham and God that day. That's
what
I want to do.
Well, what I'm going to do for you, so you know, when I'm setting it up, I'm going to have you on out every Wednesday night. I'm going to have you on. I'm going to put you on Facebook. I'm going to put you on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to put you on YouTube. But you're going to be preaching the word. And everybody going to say, now, where did this man come from? With simple... That's what messes up. Said, what is
that? I come from God. That's where I come from, brother. Man, I tell people that a lot of people have been, man, where you get the knowledge you got from? I said, from God.
From God? That's
all
where
you
I get
it. You're the open hole. You know what, brother, man? Sister Valerie Harris was talking about the other night, and I said, it's a full hole, a full vision of the poor spirit. So I entered myself, of self. Years ago, I did it.
Yes.
I became poor in my spirit to become rich in God's spirit.
Well, I want you to do something
that's
for me tonight.
That's why I am the way I am.
I know it. Well,
God,
you know what?
I'm rich in God. Poor in monetary means and everything, but I'm rich in God. In the 24th Psalm, say the earth, in the fullness thereof is God. You talk about the gold and everything else in it, it all belongs to him. So if God got it, by being rich in his spirit, brother man, I got it. Brother man, I tell you this here. I make less a month, $2,000 a month between Social Security and the VA than I did when I was working every week. I used to bring home $2,800 a week or better. But brother man, I wasn't at peace. I'm at peace now.
But you see what?
You understand that, brother man?
I understand. They're going to give you 100%. So don't even worry. The prayers have been answered. I want you to do something for me. I want you to get in close out tonight with prayer, and we'll talk the next time. God bless you. Go ahead.
Our Lord God, Heavenly Father, I pray that this nation, Democrat, Republican, Independent, I pray we put all party differences aside and become true Christians, like I said tonight, not in name, but in deed. Become a true Christian. Become poor in your spirit, enriching God's spirit. In America shall be the nation that the founding fathers set it up to be. We are a great nation on paper, but a poor nation in acts. I pray we become a rich nation in the things we do for each other. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. And God bless you until the next time, my preacher friend. God bless you.
Thank you,
shalom.
Man.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Amen.